Seated. We're going to pray to God again. We're going to talk to our God in prayer. So let us pray once more. Will you pray with me? O God, our Father, how good it is that you have given us access to talk to you in prayer. And we thank you, Father, that you allow us to come to you, bringing everything that we need before you. And we thank you, Father, especially that you tell us in your word that you know what we have need of even before we ask you. What a gracious and loving Father you are to us. O Lord, our God, as we come to you this night, you know what is troubling us. You know where we are hurting. You know the struggles that we have. O Lord, our God, we do pray that you would be with us in each of our struggles. We pray that you would be with those of us who are students, who are starting on a course of study or continuing study, and all the troubles that we face as we go through our studies. Lord, we ask that you would be with us each and every day to help us and to guide us, to help us to learn well and remember the things that we have learnt, that we might be able to honour you and glorify you as we study in whatever it is you have called us to do. Lord, we pray for you to be with those of us who are missing family and friends who are far away. We ask that you would remind us that we are one in Jesus, one people joined together, one family in Christ. And we pray that for those who are away from family and friends, that you would make us who live here in South Yarra to be a family to those who are missing their own. We ask that you would help us to show love the way Jesus has shown his love to us. O Lord, we continue to pray for the work that is being done here at South Yarra. We pray for Pastor John and for the elders, and we ask that you would give them a special blessing to continue to do your work here in this place, and so that people would know more about Jesus and learn to love him, learn to trust him, learn to embrace the life that he has won for them. We pray, Father, that you will continue to watch over the people in need around the city of Melbourne, and we ask that you would rain your blessing upon them as well. Help them to see that more than food and more than clothing, they need Jesus, as we all need Jesus. And so, Father, help us to seek him out and to find him as we look at your word in the Bible. We pray, Father, for each of us this day, that you will continue to be with us, you'll continue to bless us and give us all that we need so that we might live our lives for you. We pray for this country of Australia, and we ask that you would enable us to continue to speak about Jesus freely in this country so that others will be saved from the punishment that is coming upon sin. We ask that you would help us to know Jesus more and more, and in knowing him, that we will be like Jesus to each other, showing the same love and the same mercy and the same grace to others that Jesus has shown to us. O Lord our God, in all these things, we seek your glory and we ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to be learning a little bit more from Matthew 3. So if you just turn the page back in your notes, I'll be pulling a few little bits out of what we read earlier so that we can understand it a bit better as we learn about Jesus. As many of you know, a new year has just started. We are in 2019. And maybe some of you are making decisions about what you will do this year. You might want to lose weight certainly something that I would like to do this year. You might want to spend some more time with friends. You might like to try and spend more time with family this year. Now, why do we make these promises to ourselves about the things that we're going to do differently this year? Well, oftentimes it's because we didn't do some things so well last year, and we want to do the opposite of what we did last year. When you read Matthew 3, verses 1 to 12, the very clear teaching of John the Baptist is to repent. Now, you might not have read that word anything in what we read tonight, but you do see it in verse 2, where John says, "Stop doing wrong things, say sorry to God and obey him." And that's what it means to repent. Repent because the kingdom of heaven is coming soon. Now, that's something everyone who is a Christian should know how to do. And it is something that every Christian needs to do all the time. When the Apostle Peter, one of Jesus' friends, spoke to the people of Jerusalem in the Bible in Acts chapter 2 about who Jesus was, the people said, "What must we do to be saved?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Christ for taking away sin." And again, Paul, another apostle of Jesus, was speaking to the people in Athens, in Greece, in Acts 17. He said to them that God tells every man, every person, everywhere to repent. It is something that we must know how to do. Peter, again, also says later on in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, that the Lord does not want anyone to perish, but everyone to repent. So it's a very important thing to know how to do. So what does it mean? How can we repent? Christians should have already done it, because you can only be saved from sin if you repent and believe in Jesus. So what does it mean to repent? Well, it means to change what we want to do and who we want to please, which leads to a change in how we live our lives. Now, it has to start with changing what we want. Because to change what we want to do and who we want to please, we must really desire to change. We must really want to change. And it's changing from a life that is lived for ourselves and doing what we like, to a life that is lived for God and doing what he wants. That's what repentance is. Imagine you're driving on the wrong side of the road and you see a big red sign that says, "Wrong way, go back, turn around." That's what John the Baptist was preaching in verse 2 of Matthew 3. He was saying, stop living for yourself, stop living for what you want to do, turn that life around and live for God, trying to please him. And for someone to want to do that, they must want to live for God. You've got to see that it is better to live for God. We need good reasons to repent. So we need to ask the question, well, why should I live for God? Well, in Matthew 3, verses 1 to 12, we are given three reasons to repent and live for God. One, we should want to live for God because he has kept his promises. Two, we should really want to live for God because God cannot be tricked. And three, we should want to live for God because he offers free and complete forgiveness. So first then, we should want to live for God because God has kept his promises. Why does Matthew, the person who wrote this biography of Jesus, why does Matthew talk about John the Baptist when he's writing to tell us about Jesus? Well, John the Baptist appears because God promised that he would come before Jesus came. And Matthew wants to show us that the promises that God made, he has kept. Before the Australian Open starts, and I think some of you might be aware that the Australian Open is on at the moment, there's a lot of advertising for it on TV. You see big advertising billboards. You see tickets advertised for sale in the newspapers. And stories appear on the news about who is coming to play in the Australian Open and who is injured. We hear people guessing who might win the Australian Open, whether it's in the men's or the women's or the doubles. Now, it would be very disappointing after all this talk about the Australian Open if not a single tennis match was played. People would be very disappointed. When Matthew talks about John the Baptist, he is saying that God's promises about his Messiah, his chosen one, are about to be kept. To help us show that God's promises are about to be kept, Matthew quotes from Isaiah 40 verse 3 from the Old Testament. And it says, "You will hear someone shouting in the desert these words, 'The Lord is coming, so prepare a road for him to travel on, make the path straight.'" Now, Isaiah 40 was written about 800 years before John the Baptist appeared. And in there, God says through Isaiah that he's going to make life hard for the people that he's chosen to save of Israel. Isaiah was a prophet whose job was to tell the people of Israel that God was going to judge them and destroy them. That's not a job that I particularly want. And he was going to judge them and destroy them because they didn't worship him as the only true God. But God says to the nation in Isaiah 40, "Speak kind words to Jerusalem and cry out to her that war has ended, that her sin has been forgiven, because she has paid twice for all her sins from the Lord's hand." And then we see these words that Matthew used. "You will hear someone shouting in the desert these words, 'The Lord is coming, so prepare a road for him to travel on, make the path straight.'" It goes on to say that all the valleys will be lifted up and all the mountains will be brought low, and crooked places will be made straight and rough places smooth, and the glory of God will be seen, and all flesh will see it together, because the mouth of the Lord has said it. In Isaiah 40, God says he will forgive his people because he will come to them. And that's what John the Baptist is doing. He's preparing for the Lord to come by telling God's people to repent. We are also told that John the Baptist wore a coat that he had made out of hair from a camel, and that he also wore a leather belt, and that his usual food was large insects and honey from the desert. Now, there's more description about what John looked like in the New Testament than there is about what Jesus looked like. Why is that? Well, it's because Matthew wants us to know that by sending John to God's people, God is keeping his promises. You see, in the last chapter of the last book of the Old Testament, God made a promise through one of his prophets, Malachi. In chapter 4 and verse 5, he said, "I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Well, how will people know that Elijah has come? What did Elijah look like? Well, in another book of the Old Testament, 2 Kings 1 verse 7, there are some servants of the king who say to the king that they met a hairy man wearing a leather belt around his waist. And the king says, "It is Elijah the Tishbite." What did Elijah look like? a hairy man wearing a leather belt. What are we told John the Baptist looks like? Well, we're told that he's wearing a coat that he'd made out of hair from a camel and a leather belt. This is to tell us that God has kept his promise to Isaiah and that he's kept his promise to Malachi by sending John the Baptist to his people. And John comes telling people to repent, to stop living for themselves, stop doing what they want, and start living for God and doing what he wants. Because in this way, when the people do this, they will be ready for when Jesus comes. So God's people are coming to John, being baptized by John, and telling God that they have disobeyed him. And that's what part of repentance is as well. Telling God that you have lived for yourself and done what you wanted to, that you haven't obeyed him. And it's also saying that you want to do the opposite. You want to, from now on, stop living for yourself, stop doing what you want, and start living for God and doing what he wants. The people are repenting because the promise of God to come to his people is about to be kept. But there's also another reason to repent, and that's because God cannot be tricked. People need to really want to obey God because God can't be tricked. So in verses 7 to 10, we're told that many Pharisees and Sadducees came to John. And there's two reasons that they might have come. One is that they might have wanted to be baptized by John. And if you think about who are the best Jews living at the time of John the Baptist and Jesus, well, it was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were the most godly people seen by others. It looked like that these Pharisees and Sadducees really wanted to do everything God said. They knew how to do everything at the right time and in the right way. And everyone thought that they were the most godly people. So they might have come to the river to be baptized, because if there was something to do that showed they were obeying God, they would do it. The other reason that they might have been coming to John is to see if John was doing something that God said was okay. Now, even if it was for one of these reasons, John says that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were coming for the wrong reasons. He says to them, "You are like dangerous snakes. You are trying to run away from God because he is angry with you. He will soon punish people who do wrong things. Stop doing the things God does not like. Do things to show God that you are sorry. And do not say to yourselves, 'We are in the family of Abraham, so God will not punish us.' Listen," says John, "God can make children for Abraham out of these stones." The Pharisees and Sadducees wanted to do something to show they were godly people. But they weren't doing it because they wanted to obey God. They only wanted it to look like they were obeying God. But God cannot be tricked. God knows everyone. He knows you and he knows me. He knows what we want every moment of every day. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knew that these Pharisees and Sadducees only wanted to look like they were obeying him. Instead, we need to really want to please God in everything. And that's not easy. We need someone to help us change so that we do want to please God. If you want to rent somewhere to live, most places will want to know if you will care for their house. You can tell them that you always pay your rent at the right time. You can tell them that you will keep the house clean and tidy. You can tell them that you will fix things if you broke them. You can tell them that you will make sure the garden looks nice. But places you rent through will speak to other people that you've rented with before. And they'll check to make sure that everything you've told them is true. They check to make sure that you're not just telling them you're good. but they check to make sure that you actually are good. And God knows what we want in the same way. Now, we can do lots of good things for other people. We can be nice to each other. And we can give money to poor people, and we can visit sick people, and we can go and see people who are in prison. But the question is, why are we doing those things? If we do them because they're good things to do, or because we think doing them will get us into heaven, or because we want other people to think that we are good people, then we're not doing them for the right reason. We should be doing them because we want to show God that we love Him. We need to show God that we want, that we love Him, and that we want others to speak good things about Him. We need to repent because God cannot be tricked by us just doing good things so that other people will see. But we also need to repent because God offers forgiveness. In verses 11 to 12, John says, I baptize you with water. And this shows God that you are sorry. You are sorry about the wrong things you have done. It shows Him that you now want to obey His rules. But a person is coming soon. He is more important than I am. I am not at all good like he is. I am no good even to carry his shoes for him. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and he will baptize you with fire. John's baptism isn't good enough to save the people from the punishment for disobeying God. The people who come to John must repent to be baptized. That is, they must say sorry to God for the things that they've done, and they must turn away from the life that they've lived for themselves and the life that they've, where they've done what they've wanted to do. The people who come to John must repent, but once they have repented, they may disobey God again. And that repentance was only good for that moment. For disobedience to be removed completely, there needs to be a better baptism, a more powerful baptism. And John says that the one who is coming after him will bring a better baptism. It says he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and he will baptize you with fire. He is more powerful than John. And the one coming after John is Jesus. Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Only Jesus can baptize with the Holy Spirit. And that will save people from the damage that their sin has done to them. It will save people from the damage that disobedience to God has done to them. Only Jesus can forgive all your disobedience. Only Jesus can give the Holy Spirit to people that will remove disobedience. That is what the baptism of the Holy Spirit does. It offers forgiveness for all our disobedience, and it is free forgiveness. People need to trust that Jesus is God's Son who has come down from heaven to die on a cross, which is the punishment that our disobedience to God deserves. It is free forgiveness because God says that Jesus was punished for us, and all our disobedience, now and forever. Jesus died for it all. He took the punishment. And that free forgiveness is made sure because all those who trust in Jesus are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that is what it means to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, is that you have the Holy Spirit living in you. And all those who trust in Jesus are given the Holy Spirit. Those who believe that Jesus' death brings forgiveness can also now repent, truly repent, and turn away from a life of disobedience and a life of living for themselves. Now, if Jesus has died for your disobedience, and you trust that he has died for all your disobedience. And he has forgiven you all your disobedience. How is that going to change how you respond to God? Well, maybe you should now want to obey him. Maybe you will have a new desire to want to please God. Not because it will save you from punishment, but because you have been saved. Because you want to live in obedience to someone who has shown you so much of his love. And even Christians need to repent. That is, stop being disobedient and living for ourselves. And we should want to live for God. And we are enabled to live for God. We are able to live for God because we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Will you repent? Turn around from a life of disobedience and a life of living for yourself and turn to a life lived for God, seeking to please him because he has forgiven us through his son Jesus. Because God knows what we want in our heart of hearts and because he has kept all his promises to us in his son Jesus. I'm going to pray for us. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that in sending us your Son Jesus, you have given us every reason to repent and turn away from a life of disobedience, a life of living for ourselves, to a life of obedience and living for you. Because in Jesus, you show us your love. You loved us by sending him to take on our punishment for sin, to die in our place so that we don't have to. Oh Lord God, we pray that you will help us to repent constantly and to show that we are living for Jesus. And we thank you that you send the gift of your Holy Spirit, who helps us to live for you and do what pleases you. O Lord our God, be with us and help us every step, every day of our lives, every moment, so that we will show that we are yours and that others will see and give you praise and glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.